It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Transgender people have been allowed to serve openly in the U.S. military since 2016. Today, there are an estimated 4,200 trans service members. The Trump administration has given all of those service members an ultimatum: leave the armed services or be forced out. The deadline for that decision was earlier this month. Trump's orders are being challenged in the courts, but all trans service members now face an uncertain future. We turn now to three trans people who have served in the military to see how they're responding to the change. Sherry Swakowski is a retired Army colonel from Wisconsin with 35 years of service. U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Boston Hansen is a military police officer and trainer stationed at Fort McCoy near Toma. And Bree Fram from Minnesota is a colonel in the U.S. Space Force who's held command at the squadron level, led Air Force security cooperation with Iraq, and led space acquisition programs. Colonel Fram, let's start with you. I understand you were placed on administrative leave just on June 6th. Can you talk about the situation you're in now that that deadline has come and gone?
Well, we are in a situation where we are simply awaiting our separation or retirement given our circumstances. So transgender service members are in a very difficult spot where our lives have been disrupted, upended, and we have to start thinking about what's next and how do we go on from here after years, if not decades, of serving a nation and giving it everything we have for it to now have turned its back on us.
And Sergeant Hansen, you've been serving the Army for 14 years. Again, this deadline has just come and gone. What is your situation? How are you responding to that deadline?
Well, currently, I'm still performing my duties. I'm not on administrative absence. I did express my intent to continue to do my job until I'm no longer authorized to do so. I am choosing the involuntary separation route, with also seeking a medical retirement because I do have some medical ailments going on that could make me eligible for that. So I guess it's one of those unfortunately but fortunate kind of situations.
And Colonel Swakowski, you were playing a role in convincing the Department of Defense officials to make this decision that kicked in 2016, allowing trans members to serve openly. What have you seen between then and now? How do you see this having worked out in practice until we've hit this new decision?
I've seen our brave and patriotic trans service members who are fully qualified for their jobs and deployed worldwide being yanked around like a yo-yo, depending on who's in the administration. And when I was involved in 2016, it was at that time that the Department of Defense finally became an equal opportunity employer. And again, we're back to them not being an equal opportunity employer.
Colonel Fram, we heard Sergeant Hansen talk about that involuntary versus voluntary leave. Now, this is a decision that's been laid on trans service members now by the Department of Defense. Choosing that involuntary leave comes with a hefty financial penalty in effect. What was your thinking? What was your decision making on whether to get out before that deadline or stick it out?
Well, I want to make it very, very clear. There is nothing voluntary about either option. If there were truly a choice, we would all be continuing to serve. The only thing in front of us was either knowing and understanding most of the terms upon which we'd be discharged, or going into the unknown where the services had yet to publish any sort of guidance for what that involuntary phase looked like. Now, I have been a very public advocate for the transgender community, so there really wasn't an option for me. It's not as though I could have gone into the involuntary phase and just faded into the background. So this was a eyes wide open type of situation for me, where it was making the best decision for myself and my family to accept retirement at this point, rather than face potential punitive action should I have taken the other route.
And let's stay with you, Colonel Fram. You're the past president of an advocacy group for trans service members. What kind of things are you hearing from your colleagues who are making that decision to retire, who made that decision for the deadline to stay and risk being forced out, or maybe to fight this potentially in courts?
Well, we know the court cases are ongoing. The challenge is that by the time it returns to the Supreme Court for a ruling on the merits, we will all be gone, or at least the vast majority of us will, because that's going to take so long, and the deadline before the end of this year to have us all out will mean that we no longer have the opportunity to wait for the courts. So even if the Supreme Court finds in our favor and says trans people can serve, we will have had our lives disrupted. People will have moved on to something else. And that's a huge burden on individuals and on the institution that now has to fill holes where thousands of highly capable, highly qualified service members used to be. And so everyone going into this had to make an unconscionably difficult decision on how to proceed, given what they knew, what they didn't know, and what might be best for them and their families.
Sergeant Hansen, can you talk about what led you to the decision to stay, at least for now, past that deadline and keep that commitment to continue the service you've been doing?
For me, continuing to serve, even though this is being emplaced upon us, forcing us into these difficult decisions, it just proves that we are more than capable of continuing to remain in service, despite what some may think or say or feel about us. All we want to do is continue to do the job that we have signed up to do, serve this nation, and uphold the oath that we took.
Colonel Swakowski, on those lines, the arguments against having openly serving transgender military service members, arguments that it would interfere in some ways with unit cohesion, it would be disruptive, there would be potential medical costs that wouldn't be associated with other service members. What, back in 2016 and now in 2025, what are your responses to those concerns?
Believe me, it's just the same concerns that they had about women, that they had about blacks in 1948 when President Truman desegregated the military against the gays later on and Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the 90s. And all of those concerns were unfounded. And these concerns that they have now, as a researcher, I haven't found anything that's very valid. And, you know, five of the judges and three of the courts has found nothing but animus. The Department of Defense has not been able to do much besides call us names, say that we are dishonest and untruthful and we lack humility and integrity. And that isn't any of the trans service members that I know, and I'm still in touch with quite a few of them. So these are honorable people. They have sworn to uphold the Constitution. They have done that under the most trying of circumstances, getting up each day and putting on their uniforms and lacing up their boots and going to work, even knowing that this organization that they've devoted so much of their lives to and the person at the top of it doesn't support them. So these are some resilient folks. And, you know, highest levels of integrity.
To that point, I want to quote Colonel Fram from the executive order at the center of this, quote, adoption of a gender identity inconsistent with an individual's sex conflicts with a soldier's commitment to an honorable, truthful, and disciplined lifestyle, even in one's personal life. It's the executive order signed by President Trump, put into practice by Department of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. You, I note, Colonel Fram, one of your books is titled With Honor and Integrity. When you saw the wording of that executive order, in effect questioning your honor and integrity and that of other transgender service members, what was it like to read that, to hear that?
Well, the one thing I always go back to is, where's the evidence? Because we have thousands of transgender service members accomplishing the mission that they've been given here at home, deployed around the world in every rank, every specialty, every service, and they have done so openly and with integrity for nearly a decade. we have transgender service members who are doing their wartime mission while deployed today, being told, you are not deployable. And the only thing that changed was the perception of us by the people in charge. And so that's incredibly hard to hear, because as the courts have shown in the rulings that we have seen so far, there is no evidence whatsoever to back the government's claims. In fact, they point to our service records as exhibit A for why there is no merit to those claims. So it hurts when your character is attacked with no evidence. It is a very challenging situation. But I think this speaks to what Sherry said earlier of the resilience of trans service members, that despite that being said, they have continued to lace up their boots and accomplish the mission until or unless ordered not to.
And Sergeant Hansen, for you, hearing that quote from the executive order, at a personal level, what do you think about that after your years of service?
I think it's an extremely invalid statement to say that we're not truthful, honest, can't hold standards of readiness is an absolute farce when we've been doing so, as Colonel Graham said, for the better part of a decade openly and in the shadows before we were allowed to openly serve.
We're talking with three trans service members about the Trump administration's attempts to remove them from the military. Bree Fram is a colonel in the U.S. Space Force. U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Boston Hansen is a military police officer and trainer stationed at Fort McCoy here in Wisconsin. Sherry Swakowski is a retired Army colonel from Wisconsin with 35 years of service. Colonel Swakowski, on a practical side of things, we face this if people have to leave involuntarily. If they didn't leave before that deadline, they face a financial hit. What do you worry about on a personal level for people who aren't just being taken out of a service they've committed to their life to, but potentially paying a financial penalty as well?
Well, I am heartbroken that we're back at this point from 2015 and 2014 when we worked to overturn the initial ban. This is folks' livelihood. They're good at their jobs. They have all kinds of commendations. But let's also remember that behind each trans service member, there's a family. And it's going to be extremely rough. Everybody has different circumstances, especially the junior service members. They don't have quite as much experience as some of the senior folks. And of course, their pay is less. So it's going to be a pretty tough situation to be in going forward. But I will say that for those folks that are getting out, that the benefactor for this is going to be the private industry, because they're going to get some highly qualified senior leaders with lots of skills.
Colonel Fram, you wrote recently on social media about effectively your last duty before being put on administrative leave, issuing medals to some other service members. What was that moment like, knowing at least for now that that was it?
It was hard to hold myself together, but I owed it to them. And if there was a fitting end to my service, to recognize those around me and how much they meant, how much their service and sacrifice matters to this nation, that was the perfect way to end it, because throughout my entire career, it has been my honor to serve with, to lead, and to work for some of the most amazing individuals in this country. And to wrap up with that was both incredibly difficult and incredibly meaningful, and I am still grieving to this day the loss of the opportunity for more opportunities like that.
And Sergeant Hansen, you, I imagine you're maybe looking over your shoulder right now. How is it to carry on, do the mission, do the job while you're waiting for another shoe to drop?
It's filled with a lot of uncertainty on what my next steps are going to be. I mean, I got friends, family, they're constantly reaching out to me, asking what my plan is. They're worried about if I'll have to sell my home, if I'll be able to afford to pay my bills. And all while this is happening, I have to do my best to keep my composure and continue on with my mission. And it's incredibly difficult.
Colonel Swakowski, one possible outcome here is, and as a couple of you mentioned, you know, the administration changes, the policy changes. If the administration changes in a different direction in a couple of years, it could change back. What does that back, potentially back and forth, a yo-yo, I think the word somebody mentioned, mean for that service member, that transgender service member, or somebody who's maybe thinking of joining the service?
Yeah, so it's going to be difficult for all of those folks, all of those categories. It's a, you know, personal decision. Experiences are all different. Some people have been fully supported by their commands, and they know this is not a justifiable discharge, if you will. And other folks have had tougher going where they haven't been as supported by their commands. So there's a real question there for everyone as to whether or not they would even consider coming back. And if from my veteran's perspective, if I kept bouncing around and it was dependent upon who's ever sitting in the White House, I'd have to really ask myself, is that something I want to go back to? You know, what we need is a reverse don't ask, don't tell, whereby we codify in law the transgender folks' abilities and their capabilities and their willingness to serve, and we accept that and go forward under the law instead of just leaving it up to who's ever sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
And Colonel Fram, talk now to maybe a transgender American who was thinking of going into military service. Presumably they can't now, I guess. What message would you have for them?
Well, I hope they'll consider other avenues of public service because it is incredibly valuable to serve and to operate in those environments. And I hope that we do get to something like Sherry mentioned, where in the future, there is in law the opportunity for all qualified and capable Americans to serve. So I would encourage them to pursue their goals, get their education, build a network that is going to work for them. But don't let this dissuade them from anything in their future. The future belongs to them, and we need them to be their best selves and ready for it.
And we'll leave it there. Colonel Fram, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Colonel Swakowski, thanks for joining us again.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And Sergeant Hansen, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you all for your service. Bree Fram is a colonel in the U.S. Space Force. U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Boston Hansen is a military police officer and trainer stationed at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. Sherry Swakowski is a retired Army colonel from Wisconsin with 35 years of service. Been talking about the deadline for trans service members to leave the military under an executive order from the Trump administration.